It is 11 o'clock. Everyone, welcome to the Power Half Hour. Today, I have my very, very dear friend, one of my, like I said on Facebook, one of my bestest friends in the business. And we've been through a lot together. You know, we've been on panels and, you know, we traveled to Greece together, took care of my family. And it was just so much fun. And I get a lot of inspiration every single day from Mr. DK. And he's going to share with us today how he got from 12 transactions a year all the way to 160 and beyond. So without further ado, Mr. Agent DK, Demetrios Kalogeropoulos.
Every interview has to start with my name, every single interview. First of all, John, I mean, I talked to you 23 of the 24 hours a day, so this is very exciting that we get to have another half an hour together. So amazing. No, it's cool. So thank you very much for having me. Steve, good to see you, man. At this angle, your head looks really small, Steve, but you look good. And
my nose is almost as big as yours at this angle. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, brother. Anyway, so it's good to be here and contribute. So I appreciate you having me. We don't have a lot of time. So I don't really know how you can condense an 8-year journey into 30 minutes. Where would you like me to start, John?
I think for what I find most interesting is your relentless drive. And I started to understand why you're so relentless in your work and, you know, taking care of your family because of your upbringing. Can you share with us about how, you know, that was for you, your childhood, and how that turned into your relentless drive today?
Sure. So I come from immigrant parents. I'm Greek descent, born and raised in Canada. But my mom and dad immigrated to Canada. My dad was a cook. My mother was a waitress. When I was, you know, we never really had fancy things. We had one car, one bathroom. Everybody, you know, had to fight for that bathroom. But I don't want to say we come from nothing, because that's something. And a lot of people truly have nothing. But it was humble, right? So, yeah, so when my sister was, I guess, the start of, I guess, the fire that lit inside of me. So to preface, I always wanted to be a stand-up comedian, believe it or not. That was my aspiration in life. I wanted to be a comedian on Saturday Night Live. That was my goal. So when I was 15 years old and my sister was 18 years old, she had a brain aneurysm. She almost died. And I was in high school. She never had a condition before. She never had any warning signs. And literally, we were told 3 hours after the school called, she passed out, that she was going to die. And she ended up living. It was a long ordeal. She was in a coma for almost a year. And during that time, my family had a restaurant. They had to close it. There was no money coming in. The Greek community in Ottawa was helping us pay the bills, keep the lights on, stuff like that. And I saw that I needed to step up. Well, I guess I had choices, right? I could have stepped up or I could have went the other way. I decided to step up. So I started selling. And from a young age, I've always been a salesperson. I've never had a normal job. I would sell TVs, consumer electronics, from like all day. Then I would go and clean buildings from 11 o'clock till 5 in the morning in a suit. And then the people in the government buildings that I was cleaning, they'd say, "Where's the cleaners?" And I'd tell them, they called me. So I was the cleaner.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then I opened a cleaning company, and so I could, you know, make more money. And, you know, I was like 19 years old, 18 years old, whatever.
My goodness.
And then my sister was getting married. We didn't have a lot of money. I knew I had to help pay for the wedding, because in the Greek culture, you help your, you know, you contribute. My dad didn't have any money, so I did what I could. I would sell TVs, clean buildings, sleep in my car, and then go back and do it the next day. I had to drop out of university because I needed the money, so I never finished university. And I bought a house when I was 20 years old. My parents split. Wow. And when my parents split up, I bought a house for me and my mom and my sister, and I got my dad an apartment. And I guess that's when I got the itch for real estate. And that's where I got, I think, the hunger and the drive and the desire, because I had to make money. There was no plan B. There was no trust fund. There was no help from mom and dad. Nothing against my parents. They did their best, you know, but it wasn't there. And I knew that I needed to make money now. So I was a salesperson and I was always good at it. Fast forward, I got my real estate license when I was about 20, 8 years old, and I was in Toronto at the time, and I was door knocking with my son in the stroller. I'll never forget. I hit a FISBO with my son in the stroller, and the woman is like, I said, you know, I knocked on her door. I said, you know, I'm just wondering when you're hiring the right agent for the job of selling your home. She goes, is that a baby? I said, yeah, I need diapers. So when do you plan on hiring? She hires me. It's an $800,000 listing. I double ended. Made my biggest commission check. You know, it was amazing. It was like $40,000+.
Oh my goodness.
This is kind of cool. So after the second kid came, I looked at my wife and I said, we need to move back to Ottawa, my hometown. I think I'm really going to kill it there. So I only sold in Toronto for about a year and a half. Restarted my career in Ottawa. I had been gone from Ottawa for 5.5 years. So I literally started with my database being zero again. Started from scratch. So my first deal in Toronto, I did 12 deals. My second year in Ottawa, I did about the same. And then the next year was 50. And that's when you and I kind of met. And then in the year after that, I was 100, and then 120, and then 150. And this is my 8th year now.
That's crazy. So 8 years, you're doing like 160 deals today. And, you know, the crowd wants to know, right? Like, how do you go from even 12 to 48 in 1 year? And then 48 to over 100. Did you always know that you were going to be like insanely successful? Or was it just naturally, oh, you saw, okay, well, this is a step that I can take. And then the next step is here, the next step is here. And then it just quantum leap naturally? Or did you have that end goal in mind? I was always going to do 100 deals.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought I would do 100 deals because I didn't know what that meant, but I always knew I'd be successful. I didn't know what that meant though. Like I got to be honest with you. I never imagined I would make this kind of money or have this level of success because I was not accustomed. I had never been exposed to it. So when you're not exposed to something, sometimes it's hard for your mind to imagine that you could have those things. I didn't feel like I deserved them. I didn't feel like I was highly enough educated to deserve those levels of success. I got to be honest. I know those are limiting beliefs, but that's when you and I and our mastermind group went to Tony Robbins and completely freed my mind of those limitations. That was the year I exploded, right?
Right.
Because I had all these negative connotations that I had manifested in my mind. And as soon as that was out of my mind, I mean, it was over. But John, I always knew I'd be successful. I just didn't know how and I didn't know why, but I would always say, when I grow up, I want to wear a suit. I want to make a lot of money and I want to make people laugh. I never became a comedian, but I sort of feel like I use humor on a daily basis with my clients. So I feel like I'm sort of doing that. And I always had it up here. I always had the burning desire, always. Mm. And we talk about this a lot. I'm the kind of person when a hater or a naysayer comes at me, look, you can get mad, right? You can let it go. Let it get you down. You can let it get you down and get you sad. You can take the high road and ignore it and move on. Or there's another level. There's another level that a lot of people don't talk about. And it's kind of dark. You can use it. And I use those things. And I've used them my entire life. For example, I remember my high school, when they're telling you what you're going to do for the rest of your life, I remember the guidance counselor saying, you're not going to be in business. You're going to be a nurse. I'm like, I don't want to be a nurse. She's like, you're a nurse. You like helping people. You're a nurse. I'm like, I'm not going to be a fucking nurse. Okay. I want to be in business. I want to wear nice suits and shit. So I still remember her to this day hammering it in my mind. I still remember every single time someone doubted me, and it doesn't bring me down. I use it as fuel. It's just another log in my fire. And right or wrong, that's just how I'm wired. And I don't let it get me down. I use it. And I use it as fuel.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to circle back on all the experiences that you've just shared. And again, thank you for sharing so vulnerably with us in the crowd. Yeah. Your upbringing, all those hardships, you know, your sister going into a coma, aneurysm. You've taken every negative experience in your life and turned it into an opportunity.
Yes.
Right. So, and I see this a lot with the agents. They see a hurdle. They see a roadblock, and then they get beaten down. Yeah. You almost every time you see a roadblock, you just fight through it. And that's the difference between doing 12 deals a year and between and 160 deals a year. Tell us about your unstoppable mindset, so to speak.
I have no problem. So you know I came up with that mantra. I am negativity's worst fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Because you can throw whatever the hell you want at me, and I'm human. I will react. Right. I am Greek and I am very passionate. Greek people, we're passionate, right? We get mad, right? We love intensely. We're just European people are often like that, right? Cultural people. So I'm not saying that I'm not human. I'm not saying that I don't react, but I allow myself 5 minutes. I allow myself 5 minutes to get pissed, angry, sad, whatever you want to call it, even happy. Like that's the key. Never over celebrate a success and never beat yourself down too long. You always want to stay sort of neutral, because if you're celebrating too long or beating yourself up too bad, the world is going to beat you up as it is. You don't need to beat yourself up. And don't celebrate too long. There's always going to be somebody better, faster, stronger, better looking. Don't fucking celebrate too long. You're not the shit. You've got a long way to go. Like I posted that today. Michael Jordan said, once you get to success, that's just the beginning. Like you still have to maintain. So when obstacles come my way, I see them as, oh my God, I'm just about to level up. This is exciting. Like I am left, like when I'm going through a difficult time, I'm like, this is exciting because I'm in the moment. Like, you know, when you look back and you're like, shit, I remember when I went through that, man, that was crazy. I try to be in the moment. I'm like, this is it. I'm going to look back on this time in 5, 10 years and say, that is the moment when I leveled up.
Wow. Like,
for example, 8 years ago, I never dreamed I'd be driving my dream car. I never dreamed I'd be making the money I'm making. Well, in 10 years, the level I'm going to be at is something I never dreamed of today, but I know that I'm in the moment, right? Like COVID has been extremely difficult on me, my mindset, my family, my business. Bring it on COVID, because no market, no fucking disease, no interest rate, no competitor, nothing will get in the way of me and my goals. I don't give a shit. Bring it. Like, I just see it as a challenge as opposed to something, you know, that I'm never going to get over. It's just something that you have to adapt and adapt quickly and understand that you might not always see why immediately. You don't have to. Just deal with it. And sometimes the lesson comes later. Like none of us know what we can learn from COVID yet. It's too soon. Some of us have, and some of us won't realize it yet, right? But that is a big challenge. Would you agree, for yourself, for everybody in this business right now?
It's a huge challenge, and people don't want to talk about it anymore. It's just like, you know, it's like an everyday thing. Like, oh, the COVID, this COVID, that this has been affected. Oh, you know, I see articles being sent in WhatsApp chats, like, you know, Vancouver restaurants too closed because of the COVID. You know, it's tiring. It's tiring, right? So, you know, all along the road, you took every obstacle, like what Michael Jordan would say, log on the fire.
Yeah.
Log on the fire. And you're always so positive. Remember, you know, during Mike Ferry, it was me, you, and Dow, you're right in the middle. And I think it was Larry Kozak saying, oh, what is your mind default to the positive? Who's positive? And there's DK out of, like, you know, one in like 30 people, he puts up his hand. I default to the positive. Who defaults to the negative? Dow and I put up our hands. You know,
so I think that comes from, I know this is going to sound sort of weird, and I'm not the smartest guy in this room for sure. So this is just my observation. I'm not a clinical psychologist, okay? Obviously. I believe, and this is my opinion only, that you cannot truly appreciate happiness or growth or success until you've experienced something not so good. Mm. And I consider myself blessed that I had a difficult upbringing. And I consider myself blessed that, in a weird way, that I was forced to become a man at 15 years old. I consider myself lucky that I had to sleep in that car, because I never want to fucking sleep there again. Right. I consider myself lucky that I had to clean those toilets. When my friends were coming in from clubbing and I was in the restaurant, I didn't tell them. And they're like, what are you doing here? I thought you said you couldn't come out tonight. I said, oh, I'm just helping the restaurant owner. You know, my friend owns the restaurant. I was bussing tables. Like, do you understand me? If you haven't experienced true hunger, true pain, I just don't think, and I hope I'm wrong, because I don't want anybody here to have anything bad happen to them, obviously. But in my experience, those people that have had to go through some shit, they appreciate the good so much more. And when something perceivably bad happens, a deal falling apart, a customer canceling on you, a flat tire. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to play, when my sister was on her deathbed for a year, I used to play her Michael Jackson in her ears. And the doctors would say to me, she can't hear you. Because they didn't want to give you too much hope, right? I guess that's what they got to do. After she woke up from a coma a year later, John, she goes, I knew you were there the whole time.
Wow.
Couldn't you play another fucking song other than Billie Jean, for God's sake? But I wanted her to know I was there. And even though they told me she couldn't hear me, she heard me. Get it? So when I've experienced that, nothing in our business means anything. It's all inconsequential. Of course, I love doing the deals. I love making the money. I love all that stuff. But I don't need it to be happy. You know, what I need is a challenge. What I need is to be challenged every day and to overcome something, because that's where I get excited, and to help people, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but I truly believe that unless you've experienced something difficult, if everything's been done for you your whole life, I don't think you'll ever reach your potential. I just don't.
Yeah. And thank you really for sharing that. I had two thoughts on that, because a lot of us on the call, you know, we are of all spectrums of life experiences, right? So, you know, for those of you guys on the call who have gone through some shit, right? Do you take it as an opportunity, or do you take it as a hindrance to your success? Right? Really think about that. And DK here has taken that and just blown up and quantum leaped his life and manifested himself into the man he is today. He's an absolute rock. Look at him, right? And then, and the other thought I have is, well, DK, yeah, but I didn't really have any hardship. Growing up, I was always blessed anyways. How do I become as strong as you right up here?
Set bigger goals. You have to set bigger goals, something that's completely unachievable. You see, I truly believe that everybody has talent. I believe that everybody in this world has talent. Talent is not enough. Talent is not enough. I have seen many talented people in my life that did not meet their maximum potential because they didn't have, maybe they had hard work, John, and maybe they had talent, but they missed something. You know that something that some people walk in a room and they have that something? You ever meet somebody where you're like, this person lights up the room. This person walks with a different walk. This person talks with authority. Those people have something that I call passion, or if you want to call it burning desire, or whatever the hell you want to call it. Like, I don't want to do anything unless I want it as bad as oxygen. Mm-hmm. I want, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you sit down and do your goals, are your goals coming from a place of necessity and fear? Like, my goal is to pay off my mortgage. My goal is to pay my bills. That used to be me, by the way. My goal is to be out of overdraft protection. That was me 10 years ago. That was my goals. How exciting is that? Like, whereas, you know, are your goals, I want to take my family around the world. I want to buy, you know, rental properties. I want to buy a Lamborghini. I want to do whatever. That's exciting shit. And when you have goals that are exciting, the other stuff will take care of itself. You'll pay your bills. You'll pay your mortgage. Set an exciting goal, something that gets you excited, something that hits you up and makes you, you know, something that makes you get out of bed in the morning. Because what the hell's the point? I just think that we have a limited time on this earth. And if you're not going to give it 1,000% every single day, or at least fake it on the days that you don't want to, because we're all human, there is no point. And I believe that your desire to achieve your goals and your dreams needs to be greater than your distractions and your fears.
Can you say that again, please?
Your desire to achieve your goals and your dreams needs to be greater than your distractions and your fears.
It's just spitting fire, guys. And this is like golden nuggets over here. Like, really, are you guys letting those small distractions pull you away from the dreams and the goals that you've set for yourself? Set bigger goals, guys. Set bigger goals. Okay?
John, can I do some rapid fire of some things that, because we only have 10 minutes?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I've been doing a lot of mindset, but there's a lot of things I wanted to. So the burning desire, the goals, just to get to 100 deals, right? Surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals, because you asked me, and I want to answer your question properly, how did I get there? With you, with Steve, with people in our mastermind group, that helped me tremendously, because this is a very lonely business. And when I started doing well, it got lonelier. Because, you know, people that started supporting me, they're like, oh, he doesn't need my help anymore. He's doing well. He's driving a Porsche now. Fuck him. So surrounding myself with like-minded people really helped me to get inspired again, and I knew I wasn't alone. Stop comparing myself to others. That is critical, critical, critical to stop comparing yourself to other people. Massive accountability, become coachable. So my first 2 years, I was not coachable. My ego was huge. I didn't listen to my coach. I even fired my coach. Years later, I apologized to that coach and I said, it was me, not you. He's like, I know. I started leveraging and delegating my assistant and my staff a lot more when I went from 50 to 100 deals. So I hired a buyer's agent at 50 deals and that got me to 100. I became obsessed with customer service. So I started listening to my customers. So I don't know how many of you after a transaction or during will ask your clients, how is this process going? What would you like to see more of? What do you not like? And be honest with me, because if you don't tell me the truth, you're not helping me. I want to get better. Mm-hmm. So when do you have those conversations with your clients? I have them all the time. And I stopped having to be right. There was a lot of cases where, and that was something that Mike Ferry taught me, right? You can be right or you can be rich. Often I was right, but I would win the battle, lose the war. I wouldn't get the listing or whatever. It's amazing how much no problem can get you. You know, it's amazing how far a smile can get you. And I just stopped having to be right. You know, it's the accumulation effect. You can't say that one thing gets you from 50 to 100 deals or 12 to 100 or 150. It's a lot of little things. Like the mastermind group accounted for 20, 25 deals. The upgrading everything. I mean, I started getting custom made suits. I got a nice briefcase from Italy. I got a nice pen. You know, when customers are signing your deals, are you signing with a BIC? Or are you signing with a, I mean, maybe it's all DocuSign now, but what kind of car do you drive? If you can't afford a nicer car, wash it for God's sake. You know, like there's so many things you could upgrade that make you feel good about yourself. Because how you do, you know, we always say this, how you do anything is how you do everything. And I'm one of those people that firmly believes that. If you have a three-piece suit on and your shoes are shit, you're shit. You're only as good as your weakest link. Shine your shoes. Does that help?
Yeah, it helps a lot. That was really rapid fire and, you know, such a good list. Now, this is a fire hose, guys, and no question about it. Now, let's condense it into a couple of things. Like, if you were to say the difference between yourself and the guy who does 12 deals, what would it be for you?
I wake up hungry every day. The guy doing 12 deals often, I'm generalizing, so don't get mad at anybody, but they often think that they figured it out. Like, for example, right now, John, I'm looking to hire somebody, okay? And the ad was said, make 200,000 plus. And my coach said, you have to take that down. I go, why? She goes, no one's going to apply. No one can see themselves making that money. I said, okay. So I lied and I said, you'll make 100,000, which they're going to make more if they work with me. Well, I realized something. The guy making 40,000 a year, he's not motivated to get to 100 or 150 most of the time. You tell him what he needs to do, he won't do it. But the guy making 100 doesn't want to make 300. He'd rather be famous than make money. So it's just crazy. I find that the people that are doing moderate business, like a deal a month or whatever, they're just not, they'd rather get the praise of doing their 12 deals than get the mega success that they could have by getting a mentor or getting some help or having no ego. Like the ego often of the smaller producers is way bigger than the ego of the top producers. At least that's my opinion. And I've met a lot of top producers and they're so willing to share. They're so open and giving. And they wake up every day at zero, every single day. Like I try to go on 3 listing appointments a day. And if I don't have one, I get pissed. You know, like that's my goal. Do I do it every day? No, but that's my mindset. Whereas usually the people doing 12 deals a year, they're not that driven.
Yeah. So you're staying hungry every single day. And I've seen you just like working 12, 14, 16 hour days. You know, you're going out showing buyers right now still. You're taking listings. You're taking like 4 listings a day. That's 4 listing appointments plus taking out buyers, guys. How do you stay so hungry?
Because I set myself ridiculous goals all the time. And like, I take care of my mom. I take care of my dad. I just told my mom last year she could retire and stop working.
Wow.
That meant more to me than any, you know, we've talked about this before, but I'm just opening up now. Any Rolex or any car, any bullshit. When you're able to tell your mom, stop working, and I bought her a car, that meant more to me. See, when you contribute like that and you help people on a bigger scale, people that help to form you and raise you, there's no better feeling. There's no better feeling. There's a real estate agent right now. They sent out a memo at another office a kilometer away, and her daughter is sick. And they're asking for donations to get her daughter a computer. I'm going to buy the computer for her. I don't even want to put my name on it. Like, I don't want the, no. I don't want the attention. But to be able to do that is huge. You know, that's what life's all about, to give back. So I want to help more people. I'm already living a life I never dreamed I would be living. So, you know, obviously everybody, you know, you look at Grant Cardone sitting on an airplane and, like, you know, money and shit. I mean, I don't know if that's in the cards for me, but I'm already living that life in my mind. So I'd like to now help other people achieve what I've achieved.
So guys, stay humble, work really, really freaking hard, stay positive, and contribute to more people. It's ultimately not about money, guys. Being real estate agents, I mean, we're out there helping people. If you help enough people get what they want, you will eventually get what you want. And DK is living that every single day. That's how you stay so hungry. What can you contribute to? Do you want to pay off your mom's mortgage? Do you want to retire your mom? I mean, how big is that? What are we all thinking about right now? You know, how do I pay off my bills? How do I pay off my credit card? Guys, think about something bigger than yourself, then your life will become bigger a lot faster. Hey, all right, guys, any questions? Any questions? Question. Okay, go ahead.
How many people are on this call?
There would be 61 people on Zoom. I don't know how many on Facebook, but.
So let's say whatever. There's a number of people. Every single person that's going to be watching this now or later, I want to say something to you. And listen to me. Are you listening?
Yes.
Pablo is listening. Okay, one person is listening. There is somebody out there that wishes they were you. There is somebody out there right now that wishes they had your level of success, your life, your whatever. So know that you are already successful. You are already on your way. You might not have the rewards yet, but sometimes the rewards don't come immediately. They are coming. So don't stop, because sometimes we stop just shy of cracking that next level. And that would be a shame.
Guys, that is so much gold there. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Guys, be grateful for where you're at, okay? And be eager for more. And DK is living that every single day. All right, Jack, question?
Hey, DK, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Jack?
Hey, I have a question for you. So when you are doing 12 deals, jumping to that 50, and obviously there are some systems or some new things that you're trying, you're working on, and some of them would create fears, like, oh, you never done it before. Like, for instance, hiring people or doing some, as a newer agent, trying some new technique, like calling some new category, you have that fear, right? Yep. How do you overcome that? Like, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
I look for somebody who's done it and I copy them.
Mm.
I don't try to reinvent the wheel. I'm not stupid. I look at somebody who's doing what I want to do. I look at somebody who has what I want and I do what they do. I know that sounds overly simplified, but that is exactly what I do. Like, when I didn't know how to call a FSBO, I followed somebody and I watched them. And then I said, okay, cool. And then I went and did it. To hire somebody, I delegated. You know, like, if you don't know how to do something, pay somebody. It's not worth your time. Look, I'm a horrible manager. Okay. Maybe that's not a good thought to have. But I don't want to manage people. I'm a good trainer, though. I'm a good speaker. I'm a good motivator. And I'm a good salesperson. I am not a good manager. I don't want to manage every transaction for every agent on my team. So I hired somebody. Know your strengths. Work on your weaknesses, but focus on your strengths. So if there's something that you want that you don't know how to do, find somebody who knows how to do it, research the hell out of it, and then do it. And don't overthink things. I have said this before, and I've said it on stage. And it's the Greek saying, and John loves it, and I'll say it in English so I don't confuse everybody. But, you know, while you're trying to think about how to do it, the analytical person, the crazy guy has already crossed the river. Stop overthinking things. Action is more important than perfection. Just go.
Yeah, okay. Just go, Jack. Just do it. I mean, I don't know how many rivers DK has crossed. I'm still on the island.
You know, crossed so many rivers now.
But does that help, Jack?
For sure, for sure. Thank you.
Copy someone who's already done it, you know what, and make faster and quicker decisions to just take action immediately. Okay, any other questions? Thank you for answering that.
No problem. Thanks, Jack.
Any other questions for Mr. DK? Oh, maybe in the chat box here. Oh, it's real quiet. I'm surprised.
I put everybody to sleep.
Wow.
DK, I had asked in there, what do you think makes the difference between the people who only do that 12, 15 deals a year? Like, why is it that those people don't just follow, like what you said, just do what other people are doing and say what other people are saying? Why aren't they doing that?
Good question, Pablo. Usually it's because they have another source of income. Usually mm-hmm. it's because they have a safety net. So I think of my parents or a lot of immigrants that came to Canada, the Italians, the Greeks, the Chinese, the people that had to learn English and learn how to integrate into a country. Those people, for the most part, became extremely successful. Why? They had no plan B. Man, these people were like came to this country, Canada, US, with $7, $10. And a lot of them opened restaurants, cleaning companies, businesses. They made money. Why? They wanted it back. And they're like, hold on a second. I get paid what for doing what? While people born and raised in a country have the same opportunity, but they complain. So you have to have that immigrant mentality, because nobody works harder than immigrants. I'm telling you right now. And often people will have another source of income or a safety net. That's in my opinion.
Yeah, immigrants are not complacent, right? Remember complacency?
Yeah.
And if things are just good enough, you're not going to strive for more, right?
Yeah, and Pablo, sometimes you just don't know how good it could be. So you're like, life's pretty good. You know, I'm driving a new Honda Civic. I've got a new house and, you know, like we go to Disneyland every year, and how much better could it get? Because they can't imagine. And that was me, by the way. I couldn't imagine going. Last year I was off 160 days and I had a record year. I never dreamed that would happen. And I never would have dreamed it if I didn't have people like my mastermind group or my coaches to make me realize that that's possible for me. So it's probably the people they're dealing with and people they're surrounding themselves with are thinking too small. You need better company.
Better company, guys. You are the average of the five people you hang out with the most. So who are you hanging out with right now? I hang out with DK every single day, but I cannot stay complacent. I feel like I have a fire constantly on my butt because I look at what he's doing every single day. Just a relentless dude, man. There's nothing wrong with a Honda Civic. Just so everybody knows.
Honda. No offense to Honda Civic. Nobody works at Honda.
There's
here.
Nothing wrong with that. So one last question from Denise Mai. What is your biggest why now, Mr. DK?
What is my biggest why now?
Yeah.
My biggest why now. I don't have any one why. My general why is that I want to help more people. So what does that mean, right? Because I believe goals have to be quantifiable. I want everybody that's working with me to reach certain levels of success. And I've sat everybody on my team down and said, you're here. I want to make you go here. That is literally on my vision board. So awesome. that is my why now, to get the people around me to become uber successful and to have them live the life they never dreamt. And then that'll automatically take me to the next level.
That's awesome. And that's such a go-giver mentality. And thank you. You've done it yourself, obviously. You are at the highest of highs. I mean, one top 1% of 18,000 agents, all of, roll a page. And now you want everybody else to have the success that you have. And once you help them get what they want, what you want will automatically happen. Yeah. DK, thank you very much for all your sharing today. I'm sure a lot of people are just have their minds blown right now. How can we contribute to you? How can we send you more referrals, send you more business?
I mean, that would be great. That's not my intention. But okay. If you want to. I mean, you can hit agentdk.com. You can call me direct if you want to text me or call me 613-883-8823 or hit me up at agentdk.com. But that's not why I did this. I did this because I love you and I want to help you on your journey. And I genuinely like helping people. Every time I do something like this, my phone starts ringing off the hook. Not necessarily from the people that I'm talking to, but the universe pays me back. And when you give, you get. So I'm not expecting anything out of this except our time together.
And I love you too. We all love you. Guys, when you give, you get. There's just so much fire. And there's going to be a replay on Facebook and a recording, which I will send out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. And hope to see you in Greece soon.